Okay, hello everyone, and welcome to today's Austrian Wine Time Masterclass with Kristin Nastel. My name is Antoinette Landejean from Cork and Pork in Washington, DC. We are a premium wine store founded by a multi-generational flying winemaker originally from Champagne, France. I'm delighted to introduce today's producer, Nastel Winery. The intonation was and will always be put on the word family when it comes to this winery. After being mentioned in books for the first time in 1656, today Renate and Gunther, as well as their children, Christian, Alexander, and Petra, are continuing the wine legacy of the family. Langenlois, home to family Nastel, is Austria's biggest wine growing town and situated in the heart of the romantic Kempf Valley in Lower Austria. For those joining us live, we'd love to hear from you. Place your questions in the Q&A and we will get to them, time allowing. Since our guest is joining us live from Austria, quite a few hours ahead of us here in the United States, we will move immediately into the presentation. We are going to share a video of the winery, and then Christian, please feel free to introduce yourself and this beautiful winery at that point.
Well, hi everybody.
Give me one second. Sorry, Christian. Okay, here we go. Excellent. Thank you. Christian, whenever you're ready.
Well, hi, everybody. My name is Christian Nastel, and I'm the head of the winemaking and the whole winery of family Nastel in Langenlois, Austria. I got the pleasure to present three wines to you today, and I'll try to share my screen with you now to give you a little presentation. Just a second. We are a family winery dating back to 1656, and this means we got a lot of experience and a lot of history in winemaking. And I'm still trying to share my screen.
Not a worry, take your time.
Well, great, that's looking good. We are situated in Langenlois, Lower Austria, in Austria, and Austria in general is a rather small wine-growing country with about 45,000 hectares of vineyards, and about 10% of those vineyards, 4,000 hectares, are growing in Lower Austria, We by ourselves are working on about 15 hectares, so we are a medium-sized winery in Langenlois. One of our big focuses is the sustainable certification. We've achieved that about 5 years ago, and we are improving by every year. The sustainability certificate is an idea to grade a whole winery, because it's not only about how you work in the vineyard or in the cellar, it's also how you work with your employees and how you manage the social life all around your ambience. I would like to get the first wine ahead now. We're starting off with Agrino Vetlina, the most typical variety for our winery and also the region. In this case, it's called Grüner Veltliner Classic, which is our starter for Grüner Veltliner. It's a rather light and fresh wine that is a perfect wine for any occasion. It's like you could really just drink it and have fun with it. This is the family, my father and my brother. We're all three responsible for the winery. I got the main part of it, and my father is turning a bit into retirement now, but he's still enjoying his time on the tractor and in the vineyards, and still a little bit hard to give everything away for 100%. In terms of grapes, our main focus is, as I said, Grüner Veltliner. And also Riesling is a big important point in our portfolio and a grape variety I personally really like. Also, I'm going to mention a few points about our Heurigen, which is a traditional Austrian restaurant. Yeah, the first wine, as I said, Grüner Veltliner Classic. If you take a smell, it's really refreshing, and like the green apples you got that are very typical for a light and entry-level Grüner. So cheers, guys. On the palate, you got a nice and crisp acidity that is probably the ideal pairing with typical Austrian schnitzel. So you got something really good piece of meat in terms of the schnitzel with a really nice and crisp Grüner Veltliner going on with it. The wine is at 12.5 volumes percent alcohol, and it's, I'd say, bone dry. It's about 2 grams of residual sugar, which is really, really low in our terms. The soil this Grüner was grown on is called Löss. The town of Langenlois is divided into two parts by a small stream, and on the one hand, the more southern part is dominated by Löss, so glacially derived sand that got situated there in layers, and it's ideal for the water storage because water really stays in this type of soil for a very long time, and so we never have any problems with drought on this part of the vineyards. The other part will be mentioned with one of the next wines. As I've already mentioned, we are situated in Austria. Austria is has a nice east-west situation, and the most wine growing is situated in the east, also in Vienna. We are situated along the River Kamp, which is bringing some of the more cooler winds from the north. So we also like to call us a cool climate region because we are pretty late in the terms of the harvest situation. Kamptal is a denominated origin region. So we have the DAC level. The Grüner Veltliner Classic you're tasting now is a regional wine. And the next step, so regional wine means we're allowed to get the grapes from everywhere in the Kamptal. The next level would be village, like Ortswein. Our village is Langenlois, and the Riesling will be from the denomination Langenlois. And if we're going one step higher, single vineyard means we're only allowed to use grapes from one certain vineyard harvested at a very, very perfect time. Yeah, there we go, the second wine. I just have to get my Gruner out. Riesling Langenlois, vintage 2018. Riesling is our second biggest variety. We are producing three different types of Riesling, and also it is the base for our sparkling wine. We are producing a few hundred liters of traditional, we're not allowed to call it champagne, but it's the Champenoise method. So we're producing a few hundred liters of this sparkling wine every year. And I like it for sparkling wine because it's really nice in the acidity. Riesling Langenlois is the different part of Langenlois. So we are not growing Riesling on the loess soil because Riesling prefers really, really dry and rocky soils. As probably all of you know, some of you might know Heiligenstein, which is the stoniest soil you can imagine in Langenlois. And we are growing our Riesling on the single vineyards terraces of Steinmassel. So our vineyards are down here, the small terraces. They're facing southwest, southeast, so a nice bound. So it's the perfect situation in terms of vineyard building. The different part for primary rock soils is that usually all the machines are getting broke at one point of time, because you have such a lot of stones and it's such hard to work. But on the other hand, this is the big advantage for Riesling, because Riesling really likes the challenge and likes to be standing on very dry soils. So in the glass, Riesling Langenlois vintage 2018. Cheers. Riesling Langenlois is our starting, so also the entry to the world of Riesling for us. It's medium to medium full bodied. It has a great length already for, again, 12.5 volumes percent of alcohol. And yeah, it's for me the typical peach, apricot fruits that are showing the characteristics of Riesling. And slightly a beginning of some maturing notes, but still a very young wine that can take time and that will need time for further development. Yeah, as I said, the town of Langenlois is divided into two halves, and it's quite hard to see, but in the middle of those houses, the small stream is running, and the downwards, so the south side, is the less dominated side, and the other side was from the picture we just saw with the vineyard Steinmassel, Steinberg, and all the different Schenkenbichl, Steinhaus, so some pretty famous and well-known vineyard sites that are producing great Grüners and great Rieslings. And it's the advantage of this site that it's facing south, and depending on southeast or southwest, and also a nice little hill. So it's not like in the Alps, our hills, but we are having an altitude of 220 to 450 meters. So we are also seeing the development in terms of maturity of the grapes, the higher, the later, and the better for the high quality wines. Yeah. Really, really nice Riesling, and I would say we will go on. And very important part of our winery is not only the family, but also the hospitality. Austrians are really, really nice people, and we like to welcome guests to our winery and to our Heurigen as soon and as it's allowed and as it's possible to travel again. A Heurigen is a typical Austrian restaurant. So it's only allowed for agricultural businesses and for wineries in special. We are only allowed to serve our wines, selfly produced juices, and only cold dishes. It's really, really common in all the wine growing regions around Austria, because you know that wherever you go, you get really good quality wines, you get a good dinner, and you can talk to the people that are producing the stuff by themselves, so you know it's coming from the heart, and people really like that kind of hospitality. So this is the picture is taken in the garden. We are having one big table under the terrace where usually 10 to 12 people, so the family is meeting and having a nice afternoon. The wedding is opening around 4 p.m. So people mostly have the evening spent at our wedding. And the perfect situation would be if they're having a nice time, if they're drinking a few bottles of wine, and if we are drinking a few bottles of wine with them. So by going on, our ladies are presenting some wine and some fresh asparagus. We are in the middle of the asparagus season at the moment. And also I think the Riesling would be a great pairing for asparagus in this type situation with some fresh smoked ham. Yes, I'm able to pour you some wine if you're coming to visit us. And from time to time, we're also having some live music. This was an special event with a good friend of us that was sharing the evening with us. We've had the people there. We've had a little wine menu. So we decided which wines, and we also had some more matured wines down there for tasting. Yeah, this is bringing us to the third wine of our tasting. Third wine is called Cuvée Classic Zweigelt Merlot. The part of red wines in our winery is about 15%, and it's mainly Zweigelt. Zweigelt also is an autochthone Austrian variety that was created by a professor from Langenlois. I have to admit, I don't know the varieties certain, but he blended them, he created the variety Zweigelt, and it's meanwhile the most grown red variety in Austria. Merlot is not very common in Austria, but my granddad had the fixed idea to plant some Merlot in Langenlois. And for our Cuvée Classic, we figured out it's going really well with Zweigelt, because you have the smooth, very soft tannins of Zweigelt paired with a nice structure of Merlot in the glass. So the nose of the Cuvée Classic is dominated by cherries that are usually coming from Zweigelt. Zweigelt likes to make very, as I said, soft wines, because the tannins are not that intense and not that hard. So cheers for a third time. Yeah, good to drink medium-bodied red wine. It's stored for 9 to 12 months in big oak barrels. So no barrique notes, no smoked oak. Because also I have to go back to the Heuring. We know that people like wines at the Heuring that are good to drink. So they don't want to drink one glass, talk a whole evening about it. They want to have maybe a few glasses of wine, like to drink a little bit more of it, and like to drink different wines. So that's why we are putting a great focus on the good drinkability of our wines, and also for the red wines. The Cuvée is the middle of our red wine portfolio. We have one very light wine that is only from Zweigelt, and one very powerful red wine that also is 100% Zweigelt that was after this stored in small oak barrels. Yeah, the soil for our Zweigelt and for the red wines is also more in the north of the town. If you're going to the hill that I showed you before, and on the other side of it, there we have some gravel terraces that are the perfect situation for zweigelt. Zweigelt usually tends to produce a lot of leaves and has a lot of power in his growing. So if there is too much water, zweigelt would be kind of drowning. And so we figured out that the gravel is doing a really good job for the water supply of zweigelt. I've said a few words about sustainability before, I'm sorry. We are certified since 2016, and the Certificate for Sustainability in Austria is putting together all the efforts in a winery during 1 year. So it's putting in relation how you work in the vineyard, if you're driving a lot or too much with the tractor, if you're doing a lot of the vineyard management by hand. It's also putting into effort how you manage your cellar, how you work in the cellar. If you use, for example, a lot of fining, or if you just give the wines time until they create their own style and until they show their potential. Also, you have to, of course, pay fair wages to all your workers. So the human resource management is a big point. And if you have some bad points in there, it's sometimes even a dropout, so they just kick you out of it. Also, if you're putting a lot into the social life of your town, it's awarded. And for example, if you offer the people to come to your winery to taste the wines, to do the ex-winery tastings and the ex-winery sales, they are rewarding this. Yeah. That's it. I hope you've enjoyed the tasting, the free wines, and I would love to welcome you anytime in Langlois. If you have any questions, please just feel free to ask or contact us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever you can imagine. We are quite active everywhere.
Excellent. Christian, thank you so much. We have a couple of questions if you are ready and able. So you mentioned the different classifications of wine from the DAC, from general to village to single vineyard. Are there any further restrictions in those classifications for each tier outside of grape location sourcing?
Yes, the release date is a factor. You are only allowed to use quality wines for DSC system, and quality wines usually has coming with it that it's a yield limit, that there is a certain amount of sugar that has to be in the grapes. So the one system is going into the other and connecting with it. So if you don't have quality wine, you can't produce DSC wine on the next step. You're only allowed to use Grüner Veltliner and Riesling for DSC wines because there are different systems in Austria, but for the Kamptal, the regional committee has decided that these are the two typical grapes for our region, and we would like to push them and to make them our face of the region. And my personal opinion is that this is a good idea, and Grüner Veltliner is the most important variety, and why should we concentrate on something different? And yeah, Grüner Veltliner is our grape.
Excellent, thank you. So the Riesling comes from that beautiful terraced vineyard we saw. Please share how harvesting differs between picking grapes on a flat land and picking from a terraced vineyard.
We are harvesting about 85% of our grapes by hand. We are only harvesting the entry-level, very big vineyards. So these are like one or two vineyards by machine. And the terraces, we drive that. The people spread out in the vineyards. They get their buckets and we have to pick the grapes. So the basic idea is the same. So we pick the grapes, we put them into a trailer, and we drive them to the cellar. You saw the cellar in the video at the beginning. All of our vineyards are at a maximum of 2 kilometers from the cellar. So we have very close distances between cellar and vineyards. And all those vineyards you saw were handpicked, so there's not a lot of difference. The only difference between the terraces and the other vineyards maybe is that we are needing a lot of more tractor driving, because for one big vineyard, you can just go through it and pick everything. For the terraces, you go through one terrace, move into the next one, move somewhere else. And that's a little bit of the challenge over there.
Thank you. This is a good one. How has, if at all, the winemaking style changed over time through the multi-generations of winemakers in your family?
I have to admit, I only know the wines of my father, because he took over the winery when he was 19 due to accident of his dad. He focused at the beginning on some different grapes. There was a change of the grape focus, because in earlier days they had grapes like Malvasia, some Sauvignon Blanc, some Gruner Silvana that are not that important anymore. But he didn't like using oak a lot, and I still don't use a lot of oak for the whites as well. But in general, the more important point is, I think, due to the climate situation, because if you taste the wines back, they are usually higher in acidity, and acidity is a great parameter for the maturing of the wines, And we usually have a little bit smoother wines nowadays, but with all the parameters, if they are perfect in the year, so 2019 was a really, really great year for our wines, they also have a great chance to mature and to develop in the cellar for a long time.
So speaking of the difference in varieties that used to be planted and that are planted today, did the government order the change of varieties and fund it, or was this shift to Gruner and Riesling voluntary and done due to demand?
Mostly due to the idea that Austria has the chance to create its own grape monopoly, I think, because Gruner Veltliner is in the wine business mostly related with Austria. And of course you can plant grapes anywhere and wherever, but if the people I talk to come to talk about Gruner Veltliner, they automatically associate it with Austria. And the shift was not intended by the government at all. It was just the idea of all the winemakers. And a lot is due to the big wine scandal back in 1985 in Austria, where they did some stupid things. But after this, they focused a lot on quality wine production, and the people back then figured out that Gruner Veltliner and Riesling are really good grapes for quality wine production that is drinkable and that is also able to mature for some more years in the cellar if you put it aside.
I have a feeling I know how you're going to answer this question, but who do you think is your primary competitor on the wine market as far as regionally Austria? Who would be competing for your slots?
For me personally or for the region?
Sorry? For the region.
I don't like to call them competitors, because I have a lot of friends in the business as well. But the region that might be most similar to our style and most comparable is the Wachau, because they are very close to us. They also have a big stream running through the region, bringing some cool winds with them. They have some nice terraces. Wachau has usually a bit more bolder wines, and the smaragds are usually a bit more powerful in alcohol and probably not that straight, but it's also depending on the wineries. But yeah, there usually is a big comparison between the big vineyards of Kamtal and the big vineyards of the Wachau.
So two more questions. If you could explain for the Zweigelt and Merlot blend, if you could take us through the blending process and how you finally come to the proportions between Zweigelt and Merlot.
The proportion is 80-20. I'm sorry, I didn't mention that. But we figured out that this is the best blend, best proportion for the style we would like to create, because too much Merlot usually costs a lot of the fruit, the cherry fruit we like from our Zweigelt. We have only one vineyard of Merlot. We have a lot of some vineyards of Zweigelt. We pick the Zweigelt at different stages. We pick Merlot rather late. And after fermentation, we have one lot of Merlot that we can decide how or what kind of our Zweigelt lots we are blending with. And all of the red ones are standing on the other side of the hill from the terraces. So it's a north facing hill, it's a bit cooler. So it's a good situation for the red grapes. And as I said, the proportion usually is 80-20, a few percent off, but that's usually how much Merlot goes into the blend.
And you mentioned it being cooler on the other side. Have you noticed any indications of climate change? And if you have, how have you adapted vineyard management techniques to combat anything that you're noticing?
We indeed notice climate change. We notice it a lot. At the moment, we are not in danger, but it's the time right now for late frosts, and late frosts are occurring more and more in the last years. But that's not because it's getting colder in general, but because we have some really, really warm days in March, April, where we have the bud break, where we even have some shoots that are 5 to 7 leaves out. And if you have cold days at a full moon night at the beginning of May, you are in danger of losing 30 to 50% of your harvest. So that's one thing we've seen a lot. Also 2018 was the earliest ever registered harvest. We started to harvest our entry to medium level wines at the end of August, which is really, really early for us. And we have usually the time of harvest is from the mid of September until early November, with the decisions to pick some grapes earlier, some vineyards 1, 2, 3 times, depending on the grape quality. That's something we've seen. But also you have some shifts. You had 2019 was really great. You like an average harvest. 2020 was then again a bit late. We started to harvest at the end of September and have been able to finish by the end of October. So it was a bit more condensed. And in general, you really see that you have a lot more hot days during the summer, that around August, if you have too much heat in the vineyards, it usually costs you a lot of acidity. And that's something we also see in terms of the pure parameters of acidity. They are declining by the annual average since 1980. I think you have a decline in that parameter.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. That brings us to a closing here. Thank you for the incredible presentation and introduction to your estate. Christian, any final thoughts before we say goodnight?
Well, enjoy your Saturday in the States. I hope you're having a good one. And I hope I've been able to show our philosophy and our wines to you guys over there a little bit. I would love to welcome you at our winery. And yeah, as I already said, if you'd like to drop us a line, use whatever you can get. And for any further tastings, we'd like to be back.
Wonderful. So thank you for thank you for joining us today, Christian. For those viewing, we appreciate your interest in the great wines of Austria. We encourage you to visit our website, corkandfork.co, to view the upcoming Austrian wine events we have with some of the region's greatest producers, such as our guest tonight. So thank you so much, Christian, for your time. And even though Sergei is off screen, thank you to Sergei for introducing us to these beautiful wines. And I will end the meeting for all, wishing everyone a very good evening. Thank you so much. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.